Hello, and thank you for tuning in to St. Columba Anglican Church in Beaumont, Alberta. My name is Stephanie London. Today is Sunday, March 12th, 2023, the third Sunday in Lent. We're reading John chapter 4, verses 5 to 42. How much do we need Jesus? More than we need the water flowing through our veins and plumping our cells. More than the water that rises to the leaves and fruits of the plants that feed us. More than the water that washes the dust of the day off our faces. God gave us a planet home with nearly three quarters of its surface covered by water. God gave water that falls from the sky, water that seeps up from the ground, water that ripples and rushes through canyons, water that hides in the air around us. The inventor of the Warka Tower, a tall bulb-shaped structure that harvests water from the air, reports that people in one region of Ethiopia spend 40 billion hours a year traveling for water. Instead of going to school, some of the children there spend up to 6 hours a day walking back and forth for water. Why? Because without water, we die. And even when it's incredibly hard to get, we need it to sustain us. Without water, there are no ecosystems of life. So much so that the Mars explorers of recent years that look for signs of microscopic life on that red planet are part of a project called Follow the Water. Because even in space, water means life. Thirst is the flip side of all that water. Thirst is the parched, dry desert within, those lonely times of sadness, fear, and discouragement, making us desperate for living water. Thirst brought the Samaritan woman to Jacob's well at high noon, where she found Jesus sitting there, asking her for water. Water is the starting point for this conversation, where Jesus takes her from that thirst to the thirst in her heart. From that dusty well water to the living water that flows from him to fill her life. Living water is the healing presence of God in our lives. And as water breaks stone by wearing it away, grain of dust by grain of dust, chipping away a little at a time until the way is clear, Jesus chips away like that at this woman's shell, bit by bit, with surprise after surprise. The first surprise in the story is that Jesus is a man talking to a woman, interrupting her work to ask for a drink of water. Second, that he's a Jew and she's a Samaritan. He's from the right side of the tracks, while she is the heretic. He's from the place where people strive to keep their bloodlines pure, while her people have intermarried with invading forces for centuries. His people worship in the right way. Hers don't even walk past the right church. Third, by piquing her interest, Jesus cryptically tells her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Suddenly, this isn't about the cup of water anymore. It's about who Jesus is, who sent him, and how he's going to answer her deeper thirst. The fourth surprise is when he promises her water that means she will never be thirsty again. "The water I will give," he promises, "will become a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman says to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and with his sons and his flock drank from it?" The implication is that yes, Jesus is greater. And this surprise will blow out her world. And fifth, Jesus surprises her by telling her something that there's no earthly way he could have known. He says to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You were right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." For her to have had five husbands and be living with someone who is not her husband means that she must have buried five spouses, five marriages that end, five disappointments. The pain of grief is a desert multiplied fivefold. Jesus sees it and sees this parched wound that it is not out inside of her. And so she is astonished. And when she goes to tell her village, she says, "This man has told me everything I've ever done." But the surprises don't stop there. Jesus keeps feeding her cups of this living water until it becomes a torrent. She continues, "I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus says to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." So she leaves her water jar and runs back to tell people whom she has found. And from her then flows that living water, from Jesus through her to the rest of them. The Christian tradition tells us that this Samaritan woman was later baptized along with her two sons and five sisters. She took the name Photini at her baptism, which means the enlightened one, the one who has seen by the light of Christ. She began a missionary career, traveling far and wide to preach the good news of the Messiah, his death and resurrection. At that time, the Roman Emperor Nero was beginning to persecute Christians. So the story goes that Photini was in North Africa, but led by a dream, she traveled with a group of companions to Rome and, unafraid, went right to the Emperor Nero. "Why have you come?" the emperor asked them. Photini answered boldly, "We have come to teach you to believe in Christ." So, of course, Nero ordered them beaten and thrown in jail. And then he tried to tempt them with an opulent display of coins and jewels to deny their God. And when that didn't work, he ordered his daughter Damnina to take her slave girls and go and speak with the Christians, since he thought maybe women would succeed in persuading them to deny their God. But the opposite happened. Photini taught Damnina and her 100 slaves about Christ and baptized them all. And then Damnina immediately ordered all the gold and jewels distributed to the poor of Rome. So the emperor was outraged that even his own daughter had converted to Christianity. So the story goes that he condemned Photini and her companions to death by fire. The furnace burned for 7 days, but when they opened the door, none of the Christians were harmed. For 3 years, they were held in a Roman prison and subjected to every torture Nero could think up. But instead of falling into despair, Photini drew on that living water Jesus had given her so long before and transformed the prison into a house of God where many Romans came to know Jesus Christ. Finally, the legend tells us that Nero had them killed, but not even his brutal efforts could stop the living water flowing from these early followers of Christ and spreading through all the known world. For Photini, that meeting at the well with Jesus opened the way of life. He saw her, took her seriously, showed her who she was, filled her with spiritual thirst, astonished her, and became the driving force in the rest of her life. While the challenges we face will most likely be different than hers, the Messiah who meets us is the same. The call to be conduits of the living water of Christ is the same. The call to fill our cups at his well and then to share that water is the same. Glory be to our Savior Jesus Christ, who fills our thirst with living waters.